Let's ask our next guest, the Australian Football Hall of Fame member and never shy of an opinion, which we love. His name is Robert Walls. Wallsy, as I welcome you in, if the Blues don't make the top four, is it a fail this year?
G'day, Kane. G'day, Jared. No, it's not. But if they don't make the eight, it will be.
Yeah.
I just heard Jared say they haven't played finals for 9 years. They've shown a bit, but it's got to be delivered this season, no doubt about that. And, yes, they've got a lot of early draft picks, and they've brought in some pretty handy players over the last few years. A couple of them, I think, have underachieved. But what worries me a little bit over the last few years, at this time of the year, we hear a lot of hoopla and excitement about what Carlton's going to do. Well, the bottom line is they've done very little the last, well, decade. And until they start to do that, I'd just rather they kept a lid on things.
Keeping the old order, keeping the lid on it, Wallsy. The one thing I do like, though, is I think the midfield is strong enough, obviously, if Walsh comes back, is strong enough to lead them through. They've got a couple of young players that are good enough. I think De Koning looks at, he could be anything as a forward ruck or a ruck forward. And I think they've got enough players in that quality area or that, that ripe area of 24 to 28 that can then drive them to a final series if they get a good run with injuries. And I don't think that losing one player at this stage of the year means you're having a bad run with injury.
No, not at all. Not at all. You've got to be able to have depth on your list and you build for that. But, look, their midfield, I think, is quite strong. Obviously, Cripps, Brownlow medalist, captain, he's the number one person there. Walsh is a beauty, and I hope he can get fit and just show how good he is. Adam Chera, who came from Fremantle, I'm a big rap for him. I think he's going to be a really good player, and his best is in the next 4 or 5 years because he's still only very young.
Yep.
But he's a really good kick, and I think up forward, players like Curnow and Mackay, they'd be very pleased to know that he's been added to the team. And you mentioned De Koning. The sky's the limit for him. I think they've just got to keep playing him. Whether he's the number one ruckman or Pitney, I'd give the kid every opportunity ahead of Pitney. Pitney's honest. He gives you a really good contest, but the heights that De Koning could reach are far beyond what Pitney could.
Wallsy, when you finished coaching, you know, sports science wasn't as prevalent as it is now, I don't believe, but how frustrated were you if you had injuries? And we speak with Carlton and it comes with injuries, and they've, you know, announced that they're going to do a review into the medical department and all of that, and it's been a topic for a few years. What was your approach as coach?
Well, you, as a coach, I'm going back a long time now, Kane, but basically, you had a part-time phys ed guy and a part-time doctor and a part-time this and that. Today, because they've got so many full-time people, you know, physiotherapists, sports scientists, nutritionists, the list goes on and on. If you have a repeated bad run with injuries, well, you've got to look at your program.
Yeah. Has it gone, I mean, it's the old-fashioned one, but has the sports science stuff overridden just the basic principles of it, and are they too involved from your outside view looking in?
I had a pretty close look at Carlton about 4 years ago, and I think that the players answer to too many people, and they'll answer to the ones who give them the words that they like to hear. I just think sometimes, you know, the nitty gritty contesting work that, you know, gut breaking sessions that need to be done that stand you in good stead when the pressure's really on in tight games. I'd like to see a bit more of that. But having said that, I'm old school.
But I reckon Vossi's brought a bit of old school back to the club, Wallsy. I mean, they were 8-2 at the start of the season, got some injuries. Hewitt was a real loss for them, played only 15 games, but was injured for a little bit of the back half. Kennedy got himself injured. They lost half their back line. You know, I know they didn't make the eight, but gee, I thought they made some enormous ground last year.
Oh, look, they did, Jared. And you mentioned those two, Hewitt and Kennedy, and I'm a rep for those two because they're hard-nosed. They put their head down and they go hard, and you can rely on them. in hard matches to put their body on the line. So, that hurt them. And obviously they missed a couple of games towards the end of the year by only a kick. It could have gone either way. And that's why I think that if they make the eight this year, it's a tick. Look, potentially they could do better than that, but I don't want to talk too much about that because the proof is in the pudding, and at this stage they haven't played a finals game for thousands of days. It stretches out to.
Wolsey, we were talking about win loss record, and can you be assessed on your win loss? And ultimately, that's in some ways it doesn't tell lies, but I think in rare cases like yours, and I mentioned you. When you took over the Brisbane Bears, they were hopeless. And you took 5 years to get them going. And when you left them, you were beaten by Carlton in the first round of finals. I think it was 1v8 back then. But if it had been in this old system, you probably would have played two or three or even four finals because you were the second best side, I reckon, at the end of that season. And yet, because you took on a really tough job, your win-loss ratio gets tarnished.
Oh, look, there's no doubt about that. I think you've got to look at the situations. Look, win-loss certainly does come into it, but my first coaching stint was at Fitzroy.
Yeah.
And we made the finals on three occasions. I then went to Carlton and we played in two grand finals, won a premiership. I was a much better coach at Fitzroy than I was at Carlton, even though, you can say, well, there's grand finals and premierships there. Mm. At Carlton, you had so much more talent and so much more resources around you. Just a quick example, at Fitzroy, the pre-season training camp was at the Warrnambool Surf Lifesaving Club, and you had to take your own gear. When I went to Carlton, they said, we've already organised the pre-season training camp. We're going to the University of Hawaii.
Hmm. You didn't have to take your own surfboard.
No, so... it depends a bit with what you've got to work with, no doubt about that.
Wolsey, haven't spoken to you since you're a part of the committee to appoint Brad Scott as the coach of the Bombers. Can you reflect on that experience and what made Brad stand out above the rest in a time of much chaos at the Bombers?
I think what stood out, Kane, he's 10 years as a senior coach at North Melbourne, and again with an under-resourced club, got them to a couple of preliminary finals. It was about a 51 or 52 win rate, and I just felt that being in the job for a length of time, getting some good results, having to battle the hard way. And then the other advantage that he had was that when he left North Melbourne, he went to the AFL and he had 3 years there. And that was very much during the COVID bubble where, we had teams based in Queensland and in Western Australia. And part of his role in that three-year period was to look at all of those clubs and be part of their organisation and their preparation and their training. And he had a first hand view of what every other club was doing, and I think that was invaluable because he could see how the good clubs operated and how the poor clubs didn't and what they needed to do. And beyond that, if you go back, he's a premiership player, been there, done that, and I think that counts for something. And highly respected, intelligent. And I just thought he ticked a lot of boxes, and so did the others on that coaching subcommittee.
Wolsey, when you went to Carlton, you made Kernaghan a young captain. I think he might have been 21 at the time. Now, Nat Fyfe has just resigned as captain of Fremantle Dockers. They've got a couple of other mid-age players, and they may well go for one of them, like an Alex Pearce, I've heard, has certainly got some support. But already a couple of people on the Tepper text have said that Brayshaw is too young. You appointed a young captain. Would you say that Andy Brayshaw is too young, or would you back a young bloke in again in this era?
I wouldn't think that he's too young, Jared. How many games has he played? Off the top of my head, he's probably played around 80.
Yep.
He was voted by his peers as the most valuable player in the competition last year. Not just the Fremantle players, but all of the AFL players. And I think that really shows his respect and rating in the footy world. No, I don't think he's too young. I think he's a terrific player. It's interesting. You've just told me that Nat Fyfe has resigned as captain. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Mm. Just happened.
Well, I think that's a great decision. And I'll tell you why. The last 3 years, Fyfe has probably played half the games. The midfield now, when you look at Brayshaw and Sarong, and they're going to have Jackson from Melbourne going back to Perth, I just think it's time those young fellas took the leadership role. Now, Fyfe's been a champion player, we know that, but I just think that the days of him in the midfield are over. I hope he can accept a role playing as a permanent forward, maybe even as a wing. I was thinking about that the other day, but I think that's a real plus for Frio. Look, Kernaghan had 1 year at Carlton when he became captain, but it wasn't a tough decision because in that 1 year, he just showed that he was a quality person. I've said this several times. He's the best person I've met in football. And I'm talking leadership, I'm talking courage, I'm talking character. And I don't think there are a lot of senior players at Carlton, your Buckleys and your Hunters and your Sheldons and so on. And they could see in one season that, hey, this is the guy who needs to lead the club for the next 10 years. Well, he did it for the next 12.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in that, Wolsey, because Joel Selwood's the best person I've met in football and they need to replace him. I mean, what happens when someone like Kernaghan or Selwood steps down and you have to replace them? What would the consideration be for the Cats to try and fill those big shoes?
Well, I think it's impossible for a start, Kane, because you mentioned Selwood and you mentioned Kernaghan. They're the two longest-serving captains in the AFL, and I think they're a street ahead of the others. So you can't replace them, but you hope, and you just hope that those who do get the nod, who do get the job, have learned a lot from Selwood and from Kernaghan, but also have confidence in their own ability and their own strengths that they can lead the team. Yeah, look, I think a captain's really important, but as a coach, the most important thing is that your senior five or six players are good people and set the example. You can have an outstanding captain and then have three or four senior players who don't pull their weight and are lazy and, snipe behind your back where you're in trouble. So it's your senior six or seven who I think really make a team a strong football team with real character. And I think Geelong's definitely had that over the last 6-8 years.
Well, is it great to catch up? Will you leave us with a headline? Will the Blues make the eight?
The Blues will make the eight, Jerry.
Okay, there it is.
But just keep a lid on
it. Okay, we'll do that.
Robert Wall says Blues certainty for the eight. Wallsy, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, fellas. Bye.